They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WEBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights. On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Radio Fairfax, I'm Sue Bartholomew, and joining us today we have someone who seems to have taken the HOA world by storm with his book called Neighbors at War. Ward Lucas. Ward, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Ward, you wrote a book, and then you have a blog, and you've just been getting a lot of calls and emails and a lot of hits on your blog, haven't you?
Yeah, it kind of surprised me how many we've gotten. Last month we passed the 50,000 mark with a number of people calling in. Now, some of those are you know, the same person calling in daily. A lot of people are doing that. But over the past year, I just looked last night at some of our numbers, and over the past, actually, 11 and a half months, we've had 360,000 logins. So I think people are paying attention. Homeowners are spreading the word around. A lot of people in your network, too, are spreading the word around. I'd love to see that converted into book sales, but we have a lot of material published on the website. I try to do daily research and find out what's going on in the HOA world around the country. And I'll take, some of the wildest stories I get daily and do a few paragraphs about the story and then refer my readers onto a link to see the original story. So if they want more detail, they can just click on the link and see the original story. I'm also getting guest blogs from people around the country, so it's not just me. It's there are several of us who are getting the information out there that homeowners associations are tricky, if not obnoxious, if not outright illegal.
If not tricky, obnoxious, and outright illegal. Unfortunately, they are not illegal, which is the sad part.
Well, some of them are doing very illegal things.
Oh, some of them are acting illegally, yes.
Well, no, I'm talking embezzling. Embezzling is illegal. We're talking a violation of state and federal law now.
Okay, yes.
And we're talking about possibly one of the biggest unreported crimes in America, embezzling from homeowners associations by managers and boards. That is a huge crime. The FBI hasn't even tapped into how big that is yet, which I think is criminal.
Okay, I misunderstood. I thought you said that HOAs were illegal, and unfortunately they're not. I wish they were.
Well, you're right. No, I'm talking about some of the actions of board members are...
some of the boards. Oh, yeah.
Massive felonies committed against homeowners.
But it's not just the board's board. It's also the managers.
It is the managers. It is employees. It is people even remotely connected to... the work of homeowners associations, people who cut the grass, people who come in and do a little maintenance, a little street sweeping, a little snow clearing. The amount of money that's illegally changing hands and being charged off to homeowners is unbelievable. We're talking billions and billions and billions of dollars nationally.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely correct. And I know that the FBI is looking into it.
Excuse me, I will. I've got several phones here.
You're a popular man there.
Sorry about that.
That's what happens when you do a show. That's all right.
Yes, yes, that's right.
But
yeah, having done live shows for 40 years, I...
I was going to say, you've been in the business. You know what it's like.
Yes.
I understand that the worst ones to do are children and animals because you never know what's going to happen.
Oh, absolutely. You bet.
But now I think we can toss in electronics, right?
Yes, of course. You bet. In fact, this phone is going to ring again, so I'll just put my feet over it and see if I can stifle it.
It's going to ring again. So you're getting all these. Now, you said you got, you're getting all these hits.
Mm-hmm.
You're also getting things from people. People are sending you stories.
Yes.
And you have this philosophy that it's got to be, whatever you do is very short.
That's from a lifetime of working in television news. My first real job in the media was at a rock and roll radio station in Seattle.
Oh, really?
Where I would go on the air and say, this is Ward Lucas reporting live from the field. Your listening time for this report will be 14 seconds. And
14 seconds.
It sounds odd, but that's what we did, and we were the most listened to rock and roll radio station in the Pacific Northwest. But in television, we got a minute and a half, and I thought that was luxury. So I do try to follow that format and keep my blogs to about, well, under a minute 30 seconds of reading time. And I'll tell the people that ahead of time, hoping that like television, we start going viral and reaching out to more people. And that's, in fact, what's happening.
Well, you know, and here I've taken the opposite philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you go to commercial radio, you've got a clock of 40, 35 minutes. So basically, out of every hour, you only get about 35 minutes of content. And then you've
right.
got the rest of it is all advertising and announcements and all kinds of filler stuff. And I've taken the opposite approach, saying, all right, we're going to have a whole hour.
Yeah, and that's great. I mean, you're doing a service that nobody else in the country is doing.
Because then I figure we've got an hour, we've got the luxury of time.
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
we can go into detail because there's so much detail that needs to go into.
Well, you know, last night, trying to prepare for your show today, I listened to Gary Solomon. Now, I've talked to him before, and I've listened to him before, but what a magnificent service he's doing for the country.
Oh, he's amazing. He's absolutely
it's
amazing.
Yeah. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
You know, many people have learned about homeowners associations by listening to him or following him or, you know, going to his website. And people like Evan McKenzie, the pioneer in our field, with the two books that he's released. This is a kind of heroism that you don't see except in times of war. But we're dealing with a war here. We're dealing with illegal conduct. We're dealing with absolute abuse of human beings by other human beings. People put in a position of power who are abusing it as bad as any dictator in the history of the world has abused it. You know, you're dealing with human wreckage. Your neighbors who are being abused in the most astounding ways. And I was thinking last night. I heard Dr. Solomon mention the word Nazis, and,
mm-hmm.
and my mother's first husband died in Belgium, Christmas Eve of 1944. My father was critically wounded in Kaiserslautern, Germany, and taken POW by the Nazis. All my life, I've lived with this idea that if you see wrongdoing somewhere, you don't have a choice about whether or not you get involved. You get involved. It is your obligation. It's a celestial obligation. If you see a neighbor being abused, if you see somebody on the street who's totally anonymous being abused, you're violating one of the greatest principles civilization, if you don't get involved, if you don't do what you can to stop it, you don't have a choice. You know, even at the risk of your own life, you don't have a choice.
You know, I really like that because so many people will just stand by and watch, and they're so terrified of getting involved, especially in HOAs.
Well, Shu, in 1988, I was with a television documentary crew in Russia. We traveled to Moscow. We traveled to Georgia. We traveled to Tbilisi, Georgia. We traveled to Sochi. But in Georgia, one of my coworkers and I, and I didn't know the language, but one of my coworkers and I, walking through the street in Tbilisi, Georgia, saw about 20 kids beating the heck out of another kid. I say young people, the upper teens, beating the heck out of a kid, kicking and stomping and smashing his face and so on. Not knowing the language and walking by, we had a choice. Do the two of us get it? And the other person was a woman. Do the two of us get involved in this dispute, or do we avoid it? Do we walk away? Well, I think she and I both had the same feeling. We had to do something. And, you know, we walked into this plaza shouting the only word that we knew for police and trying to push people away from this beaten individual. But the bottom line is, it doesn't matter if you don't know the language. It doesn't matter if you don't know the neighborhood. Nothing matters except a human obligation. Do you get involved? Do you interfere? Do you try to save the life of or the health or the whatever of the person who's being beaten? Yes, you do. You don't have a choice. It's why our dads fought in Germany. It's why our dads fought in Vietnam. It's why our dads fought in Korea. You get involved. No choice.
You said you don't have a choice, but in reality, we do have a choice.
Well, you have
in reality, you could have walked by.
You can walk away from the choice, but that's my point, is the human obligation is to get involved.
But there's a moral. There's a moral duty.
Yes, there is a moral duty. Well, that moral duty is our highest human obligation in life.
And I think that's where your moral duty is to get involved.
Yeah.
Or to do something. You know, you don't have to...
Those who do nothing are putting themselves in a position of being less than human.
You know, you do what you can. Say that you had your friend was a small woman. You said she was a woman. Say she was a small woman, and you had about 50 people beating them up. The likelihood of her on her own being able to go in against all of those people, unless she was a black belt, would have been next to zilch, right?
It doesn't matter. She can make a phone call.
She can get involved in other ways. It doesn't mean you jump in the middle and you separate them. It means you do something. You go for help. You find someone who can do it for you.
Absolutely.
So that's where your choices come down.
And that's what you're doing. I mean, you're taking risks. You're taking risks to your reputation in doing your show. Gary Solomon is taking risks in his neighborhood in Arizona. He's taking huge risks in his reputation for speaking out the way he is. We've got people in every state now who are standing up. They're realizing that they do have support from around the rest of the country. And they're realizing that, yes, we're a minority, but as a minority, you can have amazing power if you just have the guts to stand up and say, this is wrong.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And you have to do that because this is the choice I've made. I don't have the answers to everything. But you know what? I can find people who do have the answers. And
right.
I can find people who have a different perspective. And I bring it to you. The choice is yours whether you listen to it or not.
Sure, of course.
But that's my choice, and that's my contribution to this.
Mm-hmm. So, well, if we all contribute together, we're a movement. If we gather enough people around us, we're a big movement. If we propose intelligent solutions to what I say is a national horrific scam, then we're going to accomplish something at some point. We may be too small right now to have an immediate impact, but there are things coming which are going to totally change the balance of power. I mean, we've got an economic crisis heading at us, which is going to probably change homeowners associations in more ways than anybody, any economist could predict. These things are going to crash. They cannot survive.
I've been saying that for a long time. But you know what, Ward? We are the majority. The homeowners are in the majority. They need to understand the power they have.
The homeowners who are standing up and showing guts are not yet in the majority.
The people who are speaking. Now, there are a lot of people doing a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But my challenge to them is to step back. Because the problem with HOAs is not your problem. It's not because your board member looked at you cross-eyed. It's not because, you know, you're not allowed to paint your house pink or whatever the deal is. That's not the problem. You have a duty and an obligation to step back and make it not about you, but about the big picture. You need to understand what's going on. And once you understand what the issues are and what the problems are, then get back into the fray and then get back in and start acting and start behaving reasonably. Because there's so many people out there who are wailing and whining and yelling and screaming and calling people names. And that's not helping.
You're right.
That's not helping.
Let me tell you what one of the turning points is. I am no economist. I'm a journalist. I have a political science degree, but not an economics degree. And yet, I can look at the political scene out there, and, you know, the country is $16 trillion in debt with some of what's been going on over the past 8 to 10 years. I think it was a San Francisco Examiner, one of the San Francisco newspapers or news outlets, was talking about the real debt, the real cost of our economic errors over the past couple of decades. We are not $16 trillion in debt. The true cost of national debt obligation and our national vulnerability is anywhere from $250 trillion to even up to $500 trillion. That's a little bit of change. So what's going to happen, and it is going to happen as sure as the last recession and housing crisis happened, is we've got a crisis, an economic crisis headed toward this country that no one can have any control over. It's going to hit us. It's going to hit the banking system, the lending system, the mortgage systems. The very first place that mortgage companies are going to say, we've got some vulnerability, is in homeowners associations because of super priority liens. If a homeowners association, which has a superior lien, goes in and closes on a house because the homeowner got a few hundred dollars behind on his HOA dues, and they go in and they take a $200,000 house and auction it for $2,000 or $3,000 down at the local courthouse, who gets messed over worst? Not the homeowner. The mortgage company. Mortgage companies, knowing this, what are they going to do? They're going to say, we're not going to lend money in any neighborhood which has a super priority lien, where we have the chance of losing a home at the county auction, losing our mortgage at the county auction.
You know what?
So what's going to happen is these homeowners are going to be faced with a choice. You've got to sell a property because you've got a job in Alabama that you have to move to. You lower the price until it is essentially worth what it's sold for on the auction block. And if you've got several homes in a neighborhood that are selling for $3,500, the entire neighborhood crashes. Nobody can sell a home. The entire neighborhood crashes. That's what's facing homeowners. You're going to lose your house. You're going to lose your mortgage. You're going to lose everything you have simply because of this economic crisis. It is coming. This is a thing that could change the balance in homeowners associations in America. It could.
You know, we've had a little taste of that already, and we've seen associations that have gone belly up. We've seen associations that have gone to their homeowners and said, look, we just don't have the money, so we're imposing special assessments, you know,
right.
$100,000
right.
by next Saturday, or else we're going to sell your property on the courthouse steps. And they're doing that. But what...
Well, you've had Nyla Ridings on your show. She's a, a frequent guest blogger of mine.
Yes.
Out in Overland Park, Kansas. Her neighborhood is crashing. She bought a home in there for, I don't know, $150,000, $180,000 8 years ago. She can't sell her home right now for $10,000 or $15,000. The whole neighborhood is crashing. And you're seeing this in state after state after state.
Yeah.
It's happening.
Yeah, you are. You are. You are.
So, you know, at the end of this thing, leaders like you who started this thing many years before I did, you're going to be the nation's heroes. I know you don't think that now, but the service you're doing is absolutely incredible.
Well, thank you for that. I wonder sometimes if it's doing any good. But
I've heard about you years and years ago. You know, I started writing my book probably 3 or 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago. And I didn't know about you then. It breaks my heart that I didn't, because you would have shortened my learning process a ton. But, I mean, I knew about Evan McKenzie and Gary Solomon, but and a few others, Harvella Jones in Texas, but I didn't realize that there were people in 50 different states who had become experts in our subject.
Yeah.
And we're trying to wake people up. But, you know, even writing my book was an awakening for me, and realizing that I was not alone. There were significant numbers of people out there.
You know, it's interesting, Ward, because that's the big thing, that the first thing that people realize is, I'm not alone. They always think they're all alone in this.
Yeah.
And
well, I did. I was there. When I began reaching out, you know, there was McKenzie, there was George Steropoli in Arizona, Harvella Jones, and a tiny handful of others, Jan Bergerman in Florida. And I couldn't find anyone else who shared my sentiments. But just in the past few years, having this book out there, having people email, I mean, I've gotten as many as 600 emails in a day. I can't get through all of them. But these are people who have either read the book or heard about the book, and I feel I'm neglecting them. I try to get back to every single person who emails me.
It's hard. It's very, very difficult to help them all.
But they're out there, and the numbers
they are out there.
Amaze me.
You know, I got an email from an 81-year-old woman,
mm-hmm.
And she's losing her home.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how to help her. And I don't have...
You are helping her. Just her being able to reach out to you is the biggest help you can possibly give her.
Yeah, but she needs someone with a big stick.
Well, she does. She needs a lawyer. She needs somebody who will take
right.
her case. She needs expert witnesses like Gary Solomon. But at least our network is getting those names out there. You know what we need to do, Shu? We need to build a state-by-state list of attorneys who are listening. I mean, one of the fundamental problems in American jurisprudence is the expense of litigation. It costs a fortune to try to assert your rights in court. You've got to hire lawyers. You've got to take the financial risk of paying the other side if you're wrong. You've got to... Sorry, I'm hanging up on this. Another one of our fans, this one in Oklahoma. but we do have... this understanding that there is no justice if justice is expensive. So we need to build a list of legal resources state by state, and you may be one of the primary people who can do this, a list that we can publicize on every one of our websites, attorneys who for a reasonable fee, we'll take a look at your case and see if there's something that you can do. Expert witnesses who will take a look and see if there's something they can do. People who have a heart for our fight, who will take part in the legal battles and give American homeowners some relief. Let them know that there is justice. But literally, Shu, if justice is unaffordable, then there is no justice.
You know, I did try to put together a list of attorneys some years ago. And the attorneys that I had interviewed, the attorneys I had spoken to, because I occasionally used to get calls from attorneys saying, I don't know anything about HOA law, and I have clients, and they're longtime clients, and they're having problems, and they want to hire me, and I don't want to say no, I don't want to lose them as clients, but I don't know what I'm doing. And, of course, I'm not an attorney, so I cannot give them legal advice. So what I tried to do was to put together a list of attorneys across different states and at least provide a network for them to work together. There seemed to be very little interest in doing that. I think the attorneys realize that they're going to get overwhelmed because there's no way that they can handle it, and there's no way they can do it pro bono, and that's what the homeowners want.
Of course. I mean, attorneys have to earn a living, but at the same time, in my life, I've never earned $500 an hour for anything.
I totally agree with you. What I would like to see us do is start, and I've talked about this before, but what I would like to see us do is start an organization very similar to the Institute of Justice, where you have these attorneys, where we somehow manage to do fundraisers and get the funding in.
Right. Well, I think you've already started that with your program.
And, well, get the attorneys and start the fundraising and make sure that the money's there so that when you and have it just for homeowner associations and condominiums. And have these attorneys so that they network together, they can, you know, the CAI attorneys, they're all over the country, they've got their networks, they write to each other, they get advice, they bounce ideas off each other. If you're lucky enough, if you're a homeowner and you're lucky enough to find a home, an attorney who will take your case, he or she is out there on their own.
Yeah, yeah.
He or she has got to do all the research. They've got to go through and do everything. There's nothing out there for them to say, look, you know, help me get a shortcut. What do I do with this? Where do I start? Because that's going to cheapen, that's going to lessen the amount that's going to be spent on it. Because if you spend
CAI,
hours and hours...
You know, CAI and Associa and some of the other organizations have created a model. We just have to follow it.
We do. And that's why on my website I usually put the lawsuits that the homeowners have won. Because the arguments are already there.
Yeah.
You know, the winning arguments are there. If you go on CAI's website, you'll find all the ones that the associations won. So that's not really going to help an attorney who is not, does not know a whole lot in this particular area of the law. But I want to make sure that they have the models and the arguments and the thinking in the winning cases. So that's why I put those up on my website. So if you need, if you have something there, you want to go and you want to find an argument, you want to look at the thinking, you want to get a head start on how to build your own case, that's why that's there.
Yeah, absolutely. That's wonderful. You know, another thing, and you've gotten recent emails from, and I only refer to them by first names, but Colorado Robert.
Yes.
He's a very intelligent person, but what I love is his recent mailings of cartoons.
Yes.
And humor.
Yes.
Involving our movement. We have to keep a sense of humor through all of this.
Oh, yes.
We need cartoonists. We need jokesters. We need not to mock the the people who back up what I call the biggest scam in America, the Homeowners Association scam, we need the humor to be able to poke fun and tease each other occasionally about the fight that we're in. That sense of humor is going to attract more people to our cause.
When I got started in all of this, going back 28 years, I sort of reached out to Frank, and I were neighbors, didn't know each other. He was on the board. Just to shorten the story, we met and we decided we'd work together. And I said, if we're going to work together, Frank, we're going to have fun. Because I'm, you know, so, and it turned out that we had the same sense of humor.
That's fantastic.
And what we did in those days, and we're going back 25, 28 years ago, what we did was we went up with flyers. And we distributed them throughout the association. And so we educated our neighbors through these flyers, and I have them. What I need to do is have the time to scan them all and put them up on my website. Just have a website where all of this stuff is there. But we had people laughing. I mean, I'll give you an example. We had one guy who was elected president, and his first meeting he says, "Hey, I'm the supreme neighbor." He was serious. We weren't.
Yeah.
We started with the Supreme Neighbor flyers, letters. And they were letters to the Supreme Neighbor from characters out there asking questions and responses. And that's pretty much how we educated people. So, of course, the board wasn't very happy with us, and the manager wasn't very happy, and one of the things was, we've sent all these flyers down to the police station. So the very next one had a letter that said, "Hey, Soupy, thanks for sending those flyers down. You know, my boys work really hard and they need a little levity. And they haven't laughed so much in such a long time."
Well, Anna, that's one of the biggest weapons that any army has in its arsenal.
It was signed Joe Friday.
Yeah.
And so I have those, and it's just a matter of coming up with the time to scan them and put them up.
But that's a whole new website, potentially, that would, we have the web. We never had the web in the beginning of our battles.
No.
We couldn't reach out to people, but we've got all this weaponry now that we can begin using. We're beginning to meet each other around the country. We realize that our army is not in the dozens, it's in the hundreds, possibly thousands. And we're all armed. We're armed with knowledge and humor and access to everybody else in the country through the web. We've never been so well prepared and well armed to do battle.
We just need to get on the same page.
Yeah.
We just need to get on the same page. We need to realize that...
I don't even know if you need the same page, because we've got a dictionary which has thousands of pages in it.
You do need to get on the same page, because you're going to have people, and I've been doing this for... I've been through this a number of times. People are going to say, "But I like my HOA because it protects my property value."
Yeah,
don't want them to tell me what kind of car I can drive.
Yeah, well, property value, that's a major fallacy that
we've
got to hit over and
over
and over again.
So we need to
put a graph up on my website here a few weeks ago about the number of homeowners associations being created in America. And there is a tapering off in this graph, a massive tapering off, where instead of building a few million new HOAs every year, it's flattened to the point that there aren't many new HOAs going up. That's a tidal shift. That's a massive shift that is going to impact Americans, and it's going to impact them through property values. They're going to realize that, they're wrong. I was promised protection of my property values, and it's not happening. HOAs have some built-in flaws that destroy property values. And once homeowners begin to realize this, you're going to see more and more of what I saw in Kansas City at my very first book signing, is 95% of all people walking past my book booth were saying, no, I'll never get in an HOA. That's right. Growing.
Yeah, you get that. But the problem is, places like where I live, and I'm not the only one, they're mandated. So everything that's being built has got to be in an HOA because our wonderful county government does not want to have to do anything for the taxes they collect.
Sure. That's what's been going on for the past 20 years, 30 years. But that's going to change as well because you're going to see people in greater numbers demanding no HOAs. You're going to see property values in HOAs not just sliding but crashing. And county officials are going to suddenly realize this is a paradigm shift. This is not working for us. We have to look at a different model.
You know, I like that. I like the idea of, you know, that would be the silver lining. I like the idea of the reduced property values because that would also reduce your tax income. So they're not going to get the tax dollars they're getting now.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's where that would come in really handy.
And I think you're beginning to see some of this on, you know, even going to the Cato Institute and looking at some of the papers that are being published. You're seeing cautionary papers being published saying that this model is not sustainable.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's an increasing number.
Wow. That I like, because the Cato Institute has always been in favor of the associations.
Well, I'm not sure about always. I think there's somebody I quoted in my book who was saying, talking about the problems in Houston where attorneys were running around ticketing cars in neighborhoods because they knew they were going to get the work. There have been some very cautionary papers on Cato. And Cato being conservative, I think they're open to, you know, a lot of different viewpoints in submissions of papers.
But, I think that's interesting.
I think there's a paradigm shift coming. It's maybe we're all right at the beginning of this tidal wave. I don't think we're causing it, but I think there's a wave coming. One of the papers it was from the Cato Institute that I published a number of weeks, possibly months ago, was about property values in properties immediately outside HOAs compared to properties inside HOAs. And the property outside HOAs was rising at many times the rate in value as HOA properties. Now, I'm experiencing that right here in Colorado. I have a home in a homeowners association, one that I've battled with for 30 years, and I have property immediately outside of the homeowners association. In the past 10 to 15 years, the value of my house in the homeowners association has not gone up a dime.
Really?
My property, the acreage that I have adjacent to the HOA, in fact, adjacent to different HOAs, which I originally purchased in 1988 and 89 for $50,000, has doubled and doubled and doubled and doubled compared to no growth in the HOA home. This is a very nice homeowners association that that my other home is in.
Is there such a thing, Ward? A nice HOA? Is there such a thing?
Boy, you know how to go right for the heart. Et tu, Brute?
Et tu, Brute? Yeah, is there such a thing? You know, they can look really pretty on the outside, and once you take the wrapping paper off, you find out that it's just junk underneath.
Well, I guess I found that out. You're right.
But if it's not there yet, it's going to get there really soon. But the home you have, you ended up, somebody came in and built a fence right down the middle of your street.
Oh, yeah. That was one of our battles. We had a number of battles over the years. We have easements to city utilities in this homeowners association, and they decided we're not going to honor your easements. So that was a 2-year court battle. I've been in 4 or 5 different court battles with these idiots. And Access was one of them. Yeah, they built a they claimed my gravel road, which actually is a 150-year-old stagecoach road. I mean, this road was built in 1859. Now, I think I have legal access over this road, but they decided I had strayed over into their territory, and so they built this fence right smack down the middle of 100 yards of my driveway.
So if you guys want to see that picture, and it's a funny picture, you'll have to buy the book. And we didn't give your website. We've been talking about it, but we haven't given your website yet.
Well, let's give that for sure.
Let's give that, and let's talk a little bit about the book.
It's called
Neighbors at War, right?
It's called Neighbors at War. That's the name of the website, neighborsatwar.com. The name of the book is Neighbors at War, The Creepy Case Against Your Homeowners Association. And it's got one of the greatest book covers I have ever seen in my life. I love the book cover.
Well, I remember that picture. I remember when it first came out a few years ago. That was down in Florida, I think, or...
No, it's in... New Hampshire.
New Hampshire, okay.
In fact, the owner of that house is somebody you ought to interview, Shu, in a future show. He's a fun guy. He's a developer. He ended up getting messed over by his homeowners association, which actually is a National History Preservation District. But they messed him over in some pretty horrifying ways. I'll let you uncover that if you ever do interview him. And he went down and began looking at the regulations for the first time and discovered there were no rules on paint colors. So being a good patriot, he painted his house as an American flag. Red, white, and blue with a nice field of stars. And it's been that way for the past 6 years.
Oh, it's still that way?
It's still that way, yes. And it's the biggest tourist draw in this entire town. This guy has been one of my biggest buyers of books. He's got them for sale up and down the main street of his town.
Well, when we get off the later on, if you give me his contact information, I'll call
absolutely.
Him. And definitely we'll have him on. That sounds like a lot of fun things to do.
His name is Ashley Brandon Spears. Very, very nice fellow. You'll love him. But he's famous in his part of the country because he stood up to these jerks and he said, no more. That's the limit.
You know, and you have to do that.
As we started out in this conversation, Shu, that's your moral obligation, is to stand
yes.
up and say, no more.
Yes.
That's the wall.
You can't roll over. You can't roll
no.
over.
No,
because if you do it once, they'll do it again and again and again and again.
Right.
You have to push back. You have to stop it. And if you're seeing it being done to someone who cannot push back for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because there will come a time when you can't push back, and you'll need someone to push back for you.
Well, like the 82-year-old lady who called you, she may not have the strength or the will or the money to push back. But she called you for a reason, because you know you can.
I think this is started off because of Barry Silver and also Gary Solomon.
Mm-hmm.
There was a story about Israel Negron, who was being evicted out of his home. 72-year-old man
mm-hmm.
who owned, in Florida, who owned his own trailer, paid for
mm-hmm.
it was his free and clear, but he was evicted out of his home because he planted vegetables instead of fruit in his patch. The stress of having to deal with that nonsense sent him to the hospital with a coronary. And that's how Barry Silver got involved. Now, I've known Barry for years and years, and he's been on the show before, so having him on was time to have him back on again. But what I did was I sent that article to Gary, and I said, here you go. Here's proof of what's happening.
Uh-huh.
Here's what you've been talking about all along. And Gary came on to talk about that because, again, I want that recognized. I want it recognized by the medical profession that homeowners can, or homeowners associations can and will make you ill, I also want it recognized by the government. Because, and this is a discussion that I had with Barry Silver, can you sue if the homeowners association puts you in the hospital? Can you sue for damages? If you can go to McDonald's and buy a cup of coffee and you're clumsy and you spill it on yourself and you can sue and get huge damages, can you sue the association? There needs to be a legal foundation for that.
Well, I mean, the legal foundation is stress. If somebody unduly causes you stress, stress is one of the biggest causes of illness. Yes, I think you can sue. I think we've got to get more clarifications into what kinds of stress cause the most damage. And I would think that stress close to your home, you know, they say your home is where your heart is. Stress involving the preservation of where your heart is, yes, that causes amazing damage. And yes, that should be actionable. We need more knowledgeable attorneys. We need more repositories of information. We need case law. We need legal opinions. We need judges, attorneys, experts like Gary Solomon. It's growing, Shu. It is growing. We are growing. I can tell by the number of hits on my website. The numbers of people who are suddenly paying attention. Our movement is not a small one. I mean, it started off with one or two heroes who began doing on the commons type radio shows or interviews or writing books as Evan and George Staropoli have done. These people were there when the earthquake happened that started the tidal wave. That tidal wave is now moving across the ocean. It's going to hit. I don't know when, but I know it's coming toward us.
There was, I was doing a little research, and I sometimes like to find different definitions for words. And one of the definitions for home is, and I'm not sure this is exactly the exact words that I found was, home is where your affections reside.
Mm-hmm.
So it's another way of saying it's where the heart is, but it's where your affections reside.
Well, more than that, we are better protected constitutionally in our home. We're better protected by the Declaration of Independence in our homes. The language that founded our country protects us inside those four walls in a degree that exists nowhere else in the country. You're not protected in your office the way you're protected in your home, constitutionally. So it's more than just your affections. It's where the law says you are king. You're king of your household.
And then the law takes it all away from you, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
You know, you're absolutely correct about the constitutional protections. I hadn't thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's an excellent point.
Yeah. Walking down the street, you don't have the protections that you do in your home. So why did we give it all away? We signed those documents. Speaking of which, I don't know if you're a watcher of Duck Dynasty. I am not.
I'm not either.
I did become a watcher a couple of weeks ago after seeing an episode from a year ago about the Robertson family battling an HOA in Louisiana. It's hilarious. I linked it to my website. I was so excited about it. It's 2 minutes of the most, for our movement, hilarious material ever broadcast on television.
You know, I'm not a Duck Dynasty fan. In fact, I don't have time for TV. I would love to, you know, my big thing would be Dancing with the Stars if I get to see it, and I got home like the last 10 minutes last night to watch it. But that's beside the point.
But look at that 2 minutes.
I've seen that.
It's one of the Robertsons walking into an HOA meeting
with a casserole.
She carries in a casserole.
Yes.
who's ever thought of taking a casserole in a Q&A meeting?
And then they get up and they take the casserole.
Yeah.
That was hysterical.
It's Jace Robertson's discussion about the zombie-like look in the eyes of all the homeowners in this meeting.
Yes.
And he's right.
Yes.
I've been in those meetings.
Yes.
These homeowners are scared to death. And
they
are zombies.
Yes.
It's hilarious.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Another funny one, if you can find it, is Roseanne Barr. And I'm not a Roseanne Barr fan, and I'm not, was not a fan of the show, but we're going back about 20 years. Because my daughter called me, she says, quick, turn it on. And it was the Christmas episode. And they came home and they found a note tacked to their front door that said that their white lights violated whatever. And she says, well, we'll soon see about that. So during the entire show in the background, the husband, who I don't remember his name, was out there working on the decorations. Now I did find, and I'll send it to you, but I did find the very end where the mother comes to visit and she wants to know why all these ornaments or these decorations are doing the things they're doing and what they're doing. But it was absolutely hysterical. And quite in keeping with Roseanne, it was a little crass and crude, but it was funny nonetheless. It was
one of your viewers or one of your listeners will direct that video to me, I'll link it to my website. I'll share it with you, and we'll try to get that out there. You know, the stars may help us in this battle.
I'll send that to you.
Fantastic.
Send that to you. I did a search on YouTube. The whole show's not on there, but
it's
our friend
on YouTube. I'll find it. Believe me, I love that website.
And you know what? You know who's a genius at pulling stuff like that out? It's Robert from Colorado.
Yes. Colorado Robert, you bet.
And you know what? Maybe we'll ask him to find it. Because he is really, really good at that. Ward, you know what? I just love having you on, and I love talking to you.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you.
I didn't do any preparation for the show because I know that we're just going to have a ton of stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we did. We had a whole lot. So you think that I like the idea that the whole thing's going to come crashing. Mm-hmm. What I don't like is the number of people who are going to get hurt in the process.
Well, according to the graph that I put on my website, that number is going to be decreasing. So people are telling their realtors, don't show me anything in an HOA.
Oh, you hear that all the time.
Yeah.
You hear that all the time.
That's us. We're making that happen, you and I and those of us in each of our 50 states who are pushing back.
25 years ago, I'd stand in line at the grocery store, and all I'd say was homeowner association.
Yeah.
And people go, oh, I hate those. I don't like my homeowners association.
See, I didn't hear that 25 years ago, or I would not have bought an HOA home.
You probably would have, because you'd have been, I don't know. I mean, a lot of people say they don't want it. But then they end up buying in it because it's got a community pool and they can use the pool and they don't have to worry about taking care of it.
We don't have a pool, but I was stupid enough not to read the 150 pages of CPNRs. I didn't know.
But the thing is, it doesn't matter if you read the CCNRs or not. Because a lot of the problems arise not because you didn't read it and didn't know what was in it, but because they're so damn vague, and they're vague intentionally.
On purpose, yes, you're right.
Because they're going to twist it.
People are warning each other. I have more people approaching me these days or writing, saying, or you look at websites where a story has been brought up. Look at the comment section. 95% of the comments are, I'll never live in an HOA.
Yeah.
Couldn't, of course, we didn't have the web 20 years ago, but you didn't see that kind of comment in the grocery line 20 years ago. At least I didn't. So I idiotically and unknowingly bought into the concept.
Yeah. No, you do. And anytime there's an article, any newspaper, you go online and there, you know, all these people are writing it. And then you've got the CAI shills on there. Well, you agreed to it.
You know what I like about Robert, one of his recent bits of humor was, instead of the Community Associations Institute, he discusses the Communisti.
Oh, I know, he's always done that. It's really funny. But you know what, Ward, we're out of time.
Okay.
We're out of time. Thank you so much for doing this. I always love having you on.
Oh, thank you. You're great.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.